Okay, this is the hour we'll take your phone calls with our special guest, Sandra Champlain. We don't die when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. So, Sandra, what's the message you want people to take when they read We Don't Die?
George, I thought about this during the break. Somebody might have this very good question. If she got all this great information by 2005, why is it in 2013 and she finally comes out with the book? And I just want to clear that up because it's a big reason and it's a big part of what the message is, first of all, We Don't Die is in three parts. The beginning is my journey of why I believe without a shadow of a doubt that we go on, that we don't die. I include a chapter about grief because we're all going to lose a loved one and grief wreaks havoc in our brain. And the last part is while we're here, how to have an empowered life as a human being. We all share three fears, being alone, fear of failure, fear of dying, and to really have a handle that we're never alone. Our loved ones are still around. We don't have to fear failure because life is an education for our soul. We can never really fail, and we don't have the fear of dying. That's huge. However, my dad passed away in 2010. So this is the big aha moment that actually had me put aside my fear of what people are going to think about Sandra Champlain and put this book in the world. My dad died. I went through the grieving process. I hit an all-time low in my existence. I've never felt the pain, the depression, the anger, the guilt, the sadness, never. Started having severe arguments with my siblings before dad died about his care, after he died about, you know, all that stuff that happens. I had to find out for myself why grief has to hurt so bad. And, you know, I'm always this happy-go-lucky person.
Oh, of course.
And how could I turn so sad and miserable and angry? And so I took the time, just because, you know me now, I'm a researcher. I like to learn.
Yep.
And I found the normal things we hear about grief, and they talk about the stages, and, of course, we all expect to feel angry and sad and all that. But I found out what happens within our brain chemistry when we grieve. And we literally lose part of the brain chemistry, part of the neurotransmitters. And, of course, that explains the pain and sadness and the anger. But what I found, too, is that losing those chemicals controls our perception, our memory, and our communication centers in our brain.
Huh.
And things started making sense to me that, like, a grieving brain is very forgetful. And a grieving brain, like, there's tons, I'm sure you've heard of tons of families that have come apart when a loved one dies. Even tons of marriages come apart when the child dies. I mean, we're going on the anniversary, I think it's tomorrow, of the terrible Newtown massacre. And
yeah. To
think that usually the statistics are 80% of couples get divorced if a child dies.
Yeah, well, it's difficult.
Oh, it's brutal. But when I realized how much our brain chemistry changes and how we may be thinking we're communicating, but we're not communicating effectively, and when we fight, you know, it's like, wow. You know, I just thought if people knew this information, they might have more compassion for each other. And so this I was courageous enough to do. I created an audio called How to Survive Grief. And I posted it. I bought the domain name survivegrief.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still there, free download, or just press play. And it's just a 70-minute audio about grief. What happened is just by putting a few posts on Facebook, I mean, this is long before the book, the audio, it didn't go viral, but it grew fast. It grew to 3,000 listeners in just a few months. And people started emailing me, George, how much my words eased their pain, how much it gave compassion to work through a loss together as opposed to coming apart. And the final thing that I said, I need to write a book, is that people started reporting that they chose not to commit suicide because of my words. They understood that that deep, dark, depressing place they were in was a part of grief, and they used my tools to get out of it. Now, with something like that, I can't just sit on it and not do anything with it. And, you know, I'm not the grief lady. I'm very much about living an empowered life and helping people work through their fears and you know, really playing full out in their life. But I thought, I've got a moral responsibility to get this out. How am I going to do it? Like I said, I didn't want to be the grief lady, not that I can't speak on that. But I thought, oh, gosh, if I could come forward and tell my journey about life after death, because this is mankind's biggest fear. It's not public speaking like everybody thinks. It's death. That I thought, well, I'm going to do it. And so as miracles happen, I meet a publisher, falls in love with the story. I've never written a book before. Here it is, and it hit number one grief book on Amazon and number four top motivational book as well.
Good for you. Good
yeah.
For you. Well, you teach a lot of people when you do this, and that's so important. I think one of the reasons why so many couples break up after one of their children dies is because it's not that they don't love each other. It's just that the grief is so much that looking at each other reminds them of this every day, and
yeah,
they have to get away from it.
Oh, absolutely. And I aim to train people how to think our own thoughts as opposed to this voice that we have in our head that automatically does the thinking for us. And whatever that feeling is of guilt or looking at your spouse and just remembering the past, there is a way, and it's training. It's just like building a muscle to put something else in there and not get caught up in the habit of negative thinking. Really takes something. But that's where the miracles can occur in our life, if you want to use the word miracle, or the new results. New actions lead to new results, and it's very often stepping into that fearful area of someplace we haven't been before. And our voice in our head won't want us to take that step, but this is where the good stuff in life happens.
Let us go to the phones now. Driving in California, Matthew's with us. Hey, Matthew, go ahead.
How are you, George?
Good, man.
I wanted to say hello to your guests, too, and just let you know I had a life-changing experience about 12 years ago. I'd spoken to you once before about it, but I met a man named Nathan Chasing Horse, and he's an interpreter. He's a Lakota man, and meeting him about 4 days before I met him, I'd really broken down. I was having a hard time. I realized in my life that I was always hurting people and making bad choices, and really played and said, God, please help me. I don't want to hurt people anymore. I want to be a good person. I want to be accountable, you know, for my actions, you know, and just making bad choices. And what ended up happening is I met Nathan. I realized what it was. And him being a Lakota interpreter, he speaks to his grandfathers or ancestors all the time. He's a man of prayer, and I've been traveling with him 12 years now. And he speaks to his ancestors constantly all the time. They're always with him. Even you can be in the room sometimes and he's praying, you'll hear them speaking to him clear as day. And I just wanted to say there's a lot of people in the country and different indigenous people all over that still have that connection where they speak to their ancestors, I mean, on an everyday basis and get guidance. And it's just life-changing to know that's there. And I'm even traveling, what you said about your father, I'm traveling to go see my father right now because I've been with Nathan 12 years now, but he sent me to see my father and spend some time with my family right now. And there's still people out there that really have that connection. So don't give up hope. You know, prayers are really answered, George.
You got that right. Matthew, thanks for sharing that with us. And we didn't talk a lot about prayer, though, Sandra. And I'm not talking about prayer in a religious sense by any means, but that ability to tap into something and draw and make it work. Were you always one of those?
No. This whole world opened up when I started belief. And Matthew, thank you so much for sharing what you did, because there's a common denominator, whether it's the Lakota man or whether it's mediums. Even some people like Tina Turner, Steve Jobs, Henry Ford, people that have had the greatest inventions, there's a commonality of quieting the voice in our mind and being in the present moment, where I believe is the access to not only connecting to our deceased loved ones. Matthew, we don't have to, we can all go to the Lakota man, Nathan, that you mentioned, but we all can take on that our loved ones are still around. And when we can quiet our minds and imagine they're there right with us and we can have those conversations, it's very healing. But as far as the power of prayer goes, in that present moment, instead of listening to the voice and the negativity, when we can feel feelings of gratitude, and this takes some work. The voice in your head's not going to want to do this, but if you even grab a piece of paper and you write down 50 things you're grateful for, and it may take a stretch. I mean, I'm grateful that I have a house or a car or whatever that may be, or sometimes it's just taking a breath or a glass of water. When you start feeling gratitude, it puts your energy level into the positive as opposed to the negative. When we think thoughts, empowering thoughts, when we pray, there is so much research done that we can actually send out this positive energy into the world. And there have been healings. There have been magical things happen. We've all heard of the law of attraction. And there really is something to visualizing something like it's already happened, feeling the gratitude, and things start happening. And if you don't think that's true, just try it, because you'll start having all kinds of synchronicities that weren't there before.
We've got first-time caller Ray in Willow, Alaska. Go ahead, Ray. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. And I'm really happy to be listening to this because of my own experiences. I'm a silver mind control graduate as well as a hypnotherapist.
Oh, great.
I didn't believe in any of this stuff. I thought it was all evil. And the imagination, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's all there is. In hypnotherapy, Silva, I've done remote viewing, distant healing, just everything. And but my advice is don't stop whatever you do, and don't get stuck in one area. And I wanted also to the people listening out there, please use your imagination, but be careful, because you might get what you ask for. And there's a very good book, if you haven't read it yet. It's Reframing by Bandler and Grinder. And there's something there about weight loss. If I'm not mistaken, that's the right book. Because sometimes we create a dieter, but we don't create the part that keeps the weight down. So I know a lot of people struggle with it.
Thanks, Ray. You know what? I actually own that book, but I bought it, and I took a course in hypnotherapy back in 96. Another thing that I didn't think was real and had to prove it for myself, I actually think I own that book.
See, there's a lot of stuff out there that's real, Sandra.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned remote viewing. Mm-hmm. I am so passionate about people learning remote viewing, and I included, I think it's on my website, wedontdie.com, but also within the pages of the book, because when we can have an experience of remote viewing, now I'm not talking about being a psychic spy and being really, really specific. It is something teaching people how to quiet the mind and then having the intention, like the what if I have this magazine sitting in front of me, and what if I knew what pictures were in it, and having a notebook and just jotting down what images come to your mind. And what happens is you open that magazine, and those images, many, many of them are within the pages. And this happens very quickly, or you could have someone hiding something in a box or in a bag or on their dining room table. They could be in Australia. You could be in California. When we have an experience of remote viewing, ESP, whatever you want to call it, when our psychic mind picks up something we shouldn't know, suddenly this whole world of life after death, of the power of prayer, all of it comes into play that this could all really be real, because there's no rational explanation for how we can do some of these things unless we are more powerful than we know and we really are these divine creatures here on planet Earth.
Chris is in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm going to lead in a couple things before I ask my question.
Sure.
My mother died about 3 years ago. I have great synchronicity and listen to the voice. But sometimes I'll look over and I'll say, well, Mom, Dad, I'm the last surviving. I say, well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm hoping they hear me, and I pay attention to my dreams. I went to a psychic, and they helped me a lot. I listen to Coast because it helps me a lot with the different guests and things it's on. Get through a lot of thoughts I have about the other side. Do they listen to us? Are they there? And then my Indian heritage tells me a lot. But I guess my question I want to ask is, because I went to the psychic and they helped, but I said, well, what's my chances of being a medium? And they said, well, you have great intuition, but you could never be a medium. I kind of didn't buy into that, but they helped me through the grief. And I'm still, I pay attention to my dreams, and I'll say, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm doing the best I can here. I hope anything I said in the past didn't mean, because things happen in life. And that's where I'm at right now. And as a retire, I'm hoping to get into more into that, into maybe a medium or something toward that area. But my Indian heritage is driving me that direction. I can't stop it. But I do help people as much as I can. But if you could answer on these mediums that are out there, people to be aware of whether they're good or bad. And I keep hearing this advertisement on Coast to Coast about California psychics, where they don't only hire the best. So I haven't called them yet. I probably will eventually. But that's my question there. Okay?
Oh, yeah, it's a great question, and I'm sorry for the loss of your mom. And no question, she's with my dad right now, smiling down on the kids. Mediums, psychics, everybody, we're all human beings. And so as great as some of the information might be coming into them, we add in our own thoughts and our own mind. So I'm not sure that people can't learn to be a medium. I never had any psychic hits, nothing. And then all of a sudden, I can see a deceased person around someone else. James Van Praagh is an excellent.
He's one of the best.
Yeah, and I know you've had him on your show. But
many times.
He had never even known what a medium was, and he went to see a medium just for entertainment value, not really even knowing anything about it, and they gave him the prediction 2 years later he'd be doing it. Well, not only is he doing it, but he's one of the best. And I think there are people that can naturally play the piano, and they're gifted at it, or people that can naturally cook,
yeah,
and they're gifted at it. And there's people who are natural mediums, and they're gifted at it. But I think through, Chris, doing what you're doing and quieting the mind and practicing and being open, you certainly can learn it. Now, are you going to be as good as James Van Praagh? Maybe not.
But maybe he will.
But maybe you will. There's no way of knowing. And one thing I know for sure is that at any given point in time, we are at the right place that we need to be. I had huge guilt about not coming forward with my life after death research back in 2000, 2005. I thought, shame on me. But you know what? The story wasn't ready to come out yet. I had to deal with the death of my father, go through the most painful experience of my life for me to be where I am today. And every one of us, if we look back on our life, we've had some terrible things happen and some great things happen. Each one of those things had to happen for us to be where we are right now. And Chris, to have faith that whatever you're doing and your explorations and everything will lead to something greater. It has to. This
yes.
is the point of being human, I believe.
Sandra, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take some final phone calls with you. Sandra's website all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking about the Martian Codex, more reflections from Mars, an incredible story. Make sure you're part of the show. And when we come back in a moment, we shall take final phone calls because we don't die. Sandra, let's give out some websites here before we move on to our final calls. You've got a couple at least, don't you?
I would love that. Yeah, and then I've got a gift for people, too. Which
oh,
I just
really?
Forgot
good.
About.
Merry Christmas.
Merry right? Christmas. Best website to reach me is wedontdie.com, no apostrophe after the N. And again, that's on Coast to Coast AM. You can find me and click on that. I say that is the best one because Sandra Champlain can be hard to spell. Certainly, if you can, you can visit me there and contact me there as well. But my gift is a couple of things. At wedontdie.com, over to the left, there's a tab that says Reconnections. And if you click on that, it's a 20-minute audio that will help you just listen, find yourself in a quiet place without any interruptions, It will quiet that mind, the voice that I keep talking about. It will guide you through an imagery to actually reconnect with your loved ones. So we're just talking to Chris, and I forgot to mention that, but it's the perfect time of the year, the holidays, to reconnect with your loved one and to trust that they are there. Very often they're going to show up in your mind. You're going to think it's your imagination, but they'll look younger than you remembered them. They'll look healthier than you remembered them. They might not have the glasses if they wore glasses in life, because when we pass over, we can be any age and whatever health we pick. The other thing at WeDon'tDie.com is you can download the first chapter of We Don't Die. Also in that is the foreword by the most wonderful Dr. Bernie Siegel, who wrote the foreword.
And he's been on our show. I like him a lot.
Awesome. He's awesome. And then also that How to Survive Grief audio, because we may not realize it, but there's a lot of people in our life right now that are suffering with sadness, and they may not admit it outwardly, but have a holiday time that, you know, picture your loved ones still with you there. Try not to listen to the voice. I mean, I really want people to play full out in their dreams, step into fear. You know that fear is an illusion, and get your money's worth out of coming to planet Earth. I very playfully just thought of this yesterday. Could you imagine, George, getting an all-expense paid trip for 2 weeks to go to Orlando and getting tickets to all the amusement parks? Wouldn't that be great? But then you sit in your hotel room for 2 weeks.
Well, speaking of all expense paid, how would you like to come up to Denver and tape one of our Beyond Belief television shows?
Oh, that's a yes. Absolutely.
Right. We'll have Tommy work it out with you.
And yeah, I'm in.
Set up the date. I think we're booked for January, but maybe for Feb.
I'm in. But to give people the opportunity, instead of sitting in the hotel room in Orlando, go to the adventure parks. Instead of spending our life here on planet Earth caught up in technology and not stepping into your fears, pretend that we're at this place for just such a short time and step into new territory, get new results, have new love in your life, have an adventure. Can never really fail, you know, but play full out while we're here.
All right, let's go to the final phone calls. Jonathan, truck driving in Idaho. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
Good, Jonathan, thank you.
I was just listening to your program, and I heard the lady, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Sandra.
I was listening to her saying something about doing a digital recording, and I'm coming from the perspective of more or less skeptic, and so I thought, why not? I'm driving down the road, I ain't doing nothing else. So I recorded for about 6 seconds, and I played it back, and I didn't hear anything until right towards the very end of the recording, I heard a voice. I was like, did I hear that? So I replayed it again. And now that I knew what I was listening for, throughout the entire recording, I could hear a voice saying something, and then it went desperate at the very end and was getting louder, and that's when I heard it the first time. And I can't make out what it's saying. So I was wondering
if
I could send it to her.
You've got something in your cab, too. What does he do with this tape, Sandra?
Well, it's great. It's like learning a new language. Like, well, what is that? And I think to quiet your mind, if there's a way when you're not driving, and then you can play the recording over and over, and it takes sometimes hearing it over and over, and with that intention of what's on there. You might see somebody in your mind's eye. You might get kind of a mental hit of what it is. I had met a man at one of a seminar, not for electronic voice phenomena, but he had lost his younger sister, and he was grieving something terrible. And, geez, I had the guts to tell him about this. And we did a recording, and actually just in the hotel room, put the shower on for the background noise and recorded that as white noise. What I heard coming through is, remember the game we used to play, remember Clue. And I'm thinking, I'm losing my mind. But in my mind, I'm seeing this long-haired girl with pigtails and, you know, cute smile, and she's about 9 years old. And I just had to go with my gut instinct of what I saw and what I thought about. And the board game Clue is what I'm talking about. And sure enough,
I like that game.
That was the game he used to play with his sister. She died when she was 9 years old, and that's what she looked like. So it takes oh my gosh, it takes so much practice and just quieting the mind. Who's going to want to fight you all the time, making you think it's your imagination putting this on there. But just keep going with it. Keep playing with it.
And, John, one of the things you might want to do is go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, up in the right-hand corner in the search section. Just put in Brendan Cook, C-O-O-K, or G-I-S, the Ghost Investigator Society, and you might be able to get that tape up to him and get him to analyze it for you. What do you think of heaven, Sandra? Because I'm asking you about hell right after that.
Okay. Heaven is closer than we think. How do I think we can access all of these people that have passed? Because I believe they're right here in a kind of a dimension that is invisible to us. And we are all made up of energy. Science has proven that. If we were to put a camera, a tiny little camera in one of our atoms inside of our molecules, there would just be nothing. It would be invisible. There's just vibrating energy. Heaven, I believe, is this invisible space where there's other vibrating energy right now. Right around us, George, we can't see the radio waves that connect us. I'm in a hotel room right now. I cannot see the wireless internet that's here or GPS signals, but they are very real. Energy can be at the same place as other energy, and our loved ones, our heaven, although we can't see it, is vibrating right here, right now with us. So people really are closer than they think we are.
In Wittenberg, Wisconsin, Robert's there with us. Go ahead, Robert.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation up here in Wittenberg. I'm a full-blooded Ho-Chunk.
Okay.
All around our area here on this road we live on, we're surrounded by Indian burial sites. My nation, my tribe used to war with the Oneida, the Menominee, the Fox were our enemies. And we were a feared nation here in this area. Now, once in a while, we get visits. There's a cemetery across the road here. My niece was walking on the road with her son not too long ago this summer. And it was in the evening. And my niece's son turned toward the cemetery, and out of the clear blue sky said, "No, you cannot come with us. You're too big."
Wow.
He saw something.
Yep. All around us.
That's a great
story. Closer than a person believes.
They are everywhere. And Native American areas tend to have more of this, don't they, Sandra?
I don't know if they do or they don't, except for from what I know about Native American traditions, and I'm part Narragansett Indian myself, 1/8, is growing up in that culture, you may be more open to actually looking and knowing that it's possible you would see more than some of us who have grown up not believing in any of it and really busy in our own thoughts don't have an opportunity to see because we're not looking and we don't believe.
So are all the evil entities dumped into hell?
I'm really not sure about hell. I know that when I
the
witnessed...
The jury's out there for you.
When I witnessed my dad suffering cancer, I've never seen any pain as evil as that. And I think here on planet Earth, we've got so much that we can say is hell. And so I don't really know the answer to that. I haven't delved into the world of evil entities and things like that.
So if you're a skeptic on hell, we might have to send you down there to check it out.
Yeah, you might, but George, you're going to come with me.
Oh, no, I'm not going down.
I need a tour guide. Come on. What, you know?
Did you hear the story of the politician who died one day, and he went up to heaven, and, he was up there, and he said, "Oh, my gosh, I made it to heaven. I made it to heaven." And St. Peter's at the gate, and he said, hey, I want to give you an opportunity to pick heaven or hell. He says, "I'm not going down. I want to stay here." And he said, "No, you really should. So, you know, come on into heaven and take a look and then, you know, decide what you're going to do." So he, first of all, he looks all around and he sees all these spirits sitting on clouds and playing with harps and, I guess, bored out of their minds doing what they were doing. And then, you know, he goes to St. Peter and says, "Okay, so what's next?" And he says, "I want you to take the elevator down to hell and check it out, and then you come back and you tell me what you want to do." So he said, okay. So he goes down the elevator, and he's met by the devil. And the devil brings him out, and he's giving him great food, wine, everything he wants. It's unbelievable. And he went, wow. And he goes back up the elevator to St. Peter, and he said, well, St. Peter, I've made up my mind. I want to go to hell. And St. Peter says, it's your choice. So down he goes forever. The doors open. The devil pulls him in. Fire, brimstone, people screaming. They're in, you know, vats of liquid molten fires. And the politician's screaming and screaming, saying, oh, my God, what happened to the hell I saw? And he said, that was before the election.
Oh, my God. I'll remember that one.
You know what? But it's true. You know, we make up our own perspective.
We do.
And you have to be very cognizant of that.
Sure. And why not make up something positive? And I challenge people to this holiday season. We're given these five senses. Use them. Use them, use them, use them when you're sitting at your dining room table. Taste every morsel. When you're hugging your favorite person, just hug the heck out of them. Listening to music, be present and listen. I know we're all caught up in our technology and checking email and text messages, but really try to pay attention to being in the present moment, and it'll give you a whole new feel of life.
Let's take final phone calls now. We'll go to Richmond, Virginia. John's with us. John, you're on with Sandra. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Sandra. I appreciate your program. I will say that I get a little confused because it seems to me I hear different guests come on, and they all seem to be proving a lot of the Bible, believe it or not, and I don't know if their intention is that, but the Bible spells it all out, a lot of this. And when you say we have to have faith, well, we have to have faith because that's part of our religion. And a lot of people won't have faith in God, but they'll have faith in other things. But what I was really calling, it says here in Matthew 10:28, it says, and fear not them, this is what Jesus is speaking, and fear not them, not me, but Jesus spoke this, said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, that means to me that God can destroy the soul very, very easily. So to say that the soul lives on, well, with the permission of God who created the souls, allows them to live on, and also allows them apparently to live where they're going to be. So I'm just wondering how this, is this what you're saying, or are you saying that we all just live on no matter what our beliefs, and we're not going to go before a God that created us and is going to be able to put us wherever he wants, or destroy the soul? It says here he can destroy the soul and body in hell. So that means to me that we could be energy, but we can be destroyed as energy too, or whatever, if God wants. If God certainly has the power, I'm sure, to destroy energy and even change it with the, he may, you know, with his physics, he could probably do anything that doesn't even make sense to science. So anyway, I'd just like to hear you comment on that. I appreciate it.
Sure. I think it's an excellent question. I know my background is Christianity. I am Catholic. And I wanted to create a message for the masses that wasn't specific on religion. And in fact, we can all agree that the top religions in the world believe in life after death. And I do include that within the pages of We Don't Die, because I don't want anybody to think they're going against their religion.
And most cultures believe
it. Yes, exactly. And I also, like when I was describing the mediums and the psychics, everything gets filtered through our human brain. And John, to me, the best way to answer that is we each have to look within our heart for what we know to be true. There's so much within the Bible that I absolutely agree with, and I'm not disputing any of it. But look what's in your heart. Does it feel right? Does it feel wrong? Somebody might be listening to this right now and say, gosh, I don't believe that she said that. I don't believe in that. But you know what? I'm going to take this about using the five senses. Whatever we learn in our journey here on planet Earth, if it fits, keep it. If it doesn't, throw it away. Look within yourself, because in within each one of us, we have our own personal journey, and we have our own personal answers. So if something I said doesn't resonate or seems confusing, and what's the real truth? when you quiet your mind and just really ask that question, I believe you're going to get the answer for yourself.
Gary in Ontario, Canada, first-time caller. Go ahead, Gary.
Hi, how are you, Sandra?
Hello, Gary. I'm great. Thanks.
Oh, great. This is the first time I've ever gotten through on Ghost. I've tried several times, but I've been listening to it a lot over the years. So, but I had a girlfriend up until 2010, and she died of cancer. I tried everything. I tried prayer, everything I possibly could, but she didn't survive. But one day I was walking across the street and went through a Taco Bell parking lot, and we had talked before, or like met before when she was living, and had little chats and that before I knew her really well. And she, as I was going by this car, I thought it looked like a car that had belonged to somebody I knew. So I stopped and started to back up, expecting to see, I knew the last three numbers of his license plate. But all of a sudden, as I got back to the car, I saw Goofy written across the plate. And this was her first cat. And I thought it had to be, you know, because I'd been talking to her, and I thought this has to be a connection somehow. And like we were very close. And when I told my brother about it, he didn't think there was anything to it. He just kind of,
you know what?
I had a feeling that there was more than just a coincidence.
They send messages in very strange ways, Gary. They really do. Sandra, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the program.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And we'll have Tom get a hold of you, and let's do a TV taping with you, okay?
Yes, I'm in. Thank you.
Okay. That's very good. Sandra Champlain, the name of her book, We Don't Die. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, George Knapp, John Wells, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, choking somewhere out there. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.